Hello, and welcome to Shite Talk, an Irish history podcast / Argentinian history podcast. This week we were joined by Stephen Mullen, who came in to help us say names correctly when we were talking about one of Argentina's big naval heroes, Guillermo Brown, from Foxford County, Mayo. This was a very fun episode. We recorded it in the Halfpenny, and we finally got some video as well, which we'll be sticking up on social media at some point next week. But while we were busy trying to get all the video, we fucked up the audio. We lost about 10-15 minutes at the start, which I've salvaged some of it, but the first bit are a little choppy. So you can fast forward through those if you want, straight into the meat of it. I think it's grand. But, you know, if you're listening to the first 2 minutes, you're like, what the fuck is... This is outrageous. I should complain to the podcast board of standards. Just fast forward until minute 5 and enjoy the rest of the episode recorded properly by professionals. But yeah, that's it. We had a good gig down in Cork the other week. The next gig we have is in Belfast on the 24th of November. So I'll put a link for that in the description of this episode, as well as a link for Stephen Mullen's social media stuff. If you want to follow him, he's a very funny comedian. Very sound man. And that is it. Here is this week's episode about Guillermo Brown.
Gather around now, you're in for a story. Old tales of lore on the search of a glory. History and mystery of lads, lasses and all. Discoveries and voyages, the rise and the fall.
We'll jump straight into it.
Hey everyone,
we're here with Stephen Mullen. Stephen, you're here because you're half Argentinian.
That's correct.
And the good half.
You know, I've just realised I can't find my Argentinian passport. Not to be thinking about that now.
Are you dual citizenship?
Yeah. I got my citizenship when I was early 20s.
Oh, right.
What does that give you access to?
It gives you a cheaper inland travel in South America.
Really?
Okay.
Do you have a card or something?
You bet. Yeah, you have an ID card, like the equivalent of maybe like your PPS or your passport. And then when you book flights and buses and all that, you just have to type in your Argentinian ID. And works in Brazil, Paraguay, the whole lot. I think I remember is like you could get up to 20% off on travel, you know?
Can anyone stick your number in?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question.
You could try it. Yeah. If knowing my luck, I'd try it and then arrive somewhere and the police would be waiting for me. Be like, Mr. Mullen, we've finally got you. Well, do you know much about Argentina but other than football? I got there before you.
We did that one episode about Don Julio. No. I forgot. We've done too many episodes now. Nah. I did it an Argentinian episode.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I found out the fourth biggest diaspora within Argentina is Irish people.
Yeah.
That it goes like German. Or what's the deal with that?
Well, there is a bit of... Because people would make jokes about it a lot. But yeah, there's definitely... I think it was... I can't remember if it was Perón or one of the leaders were basically... I don't know if you'd say Nazi symbol. I suppose the worst sympathizers, they've been somewhere to hide out, you know, in Patagonia down the south.
But how much of that's kind of overblown then? Because everyone's like, any white Argentinian, you know where they came?
Apparently.
Or like the blue-eyed, blonde-haired ones, I guess.
Yeah. But there's a good... a lot of like you look at how, for example, how beautiful Brazilians are, because it's such a mix of immigration from Europe, but then, you know, Africa as well, and then indigenous people from Brazil as well, and all that kind of stuff. So the melting pot that goes on there, that, like, you know, you get all these stunning, beautiful looking people. And Argentina doesn't have that, I wouldn't say it's that diverse, but there's a lot of German, Italian, and Spanish would be the big ones over to Argentina. So and it's kind of the majority of the population at the moment.
You got the Argentinian side looks wise then.
When I was a kid, I definitely looked way different than all the other Irish kids, for sure. Like, cause you know, when you're playing around outside, I would go much darker. Because I remember, I kind of recall in one of my sets that the neighbours used to nickname me Eskimo Rice. Which I think is really harsh. But then I did see a photo of myself recently enough in the 90s, and I was like, But I suppose you guys, I don't know if we're around the same age, but like Ireland was so white in those days that it was, there was no people of colour, like nobody.
I'm from Carlow, in a very rural town in Carlow, and it's only in the past like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, it's noticeable now. Then if you were to meet my mom, for example, my mom's a lot lighter than I am. That's, you just don't know, like that's the mix. Like my brother and I would be darker, my sister's not that, you know.
Yeah, all my siblings are super pale, but I go like, when I was living in Texas, I'd often get people coming up talking to me in Spanish and be like, oh no, I can't do this.
Muy bien, boy.
Completely unrelated, about 30 years ago, his dad was out of town for a couple of weeks. But listen, anyway. Well, actually,
Spanish sailors got as far as Lachlan.
Very lost.
Find their way onto the barrel.
Well, that kind of starts into the story of. Yeah, so the story is going to be about William Brown. I think I underappreciated how much people love him in Argentina. If he disappeared under the table.
I shouldn't have trusted Kevin. He was like, should we check levels? Do you know what? It'll be grand. It's like, one of the mics wasn't on and the other one was turned down to 10%.
There you go. So that's why he's in charge of all the equipment. I've just been sitting here. He sent me out for batteries to get me out of the way. It's just some batteries and squashies and come back in 20 minutes. Thought I'd get arrested if I asked that woman for squashies.
Oh, really? Why?
That just sounds too suggestive. She just... A fucking pack of batteries and a couple of squashes there if you had them.
I think the wink was the problem.
And the accent, the way
it's
you did
in,
that.
It's involuntary. It's how I ask for things at shops.
It's just how I talk to women.
It's just how I talk when there's a fine young woman around. Anyway, listen.
Hello.
Great. Smashed it the
Welcome.
First time. People, yeah, there'll be a video jump. We're all looking more frustrated, and I have no jumper.
Oh yeah, you know it's getting serious now.
Yeah,
I
realize
the jumper off.
I put a hat on. I was like, I can't. The audience will know.
The audience will know.
That'll be the giveaway.
Yeah, I can't. What comedian used to do it? He'd show up wearing loads of layers, and he'd take them off one by one as the act went on, so that it couldn't be edited when it went on TV. It couldn't be edited to like
actually. That's pretty cool.
So force continuity, but. Anyway,
wasn't Joey from Friends. Anyway, that's obviously that episode.
Argentina. I don't know if you know this, Stephen.
Argentina,
the fifth biggest diaspora of Irish people in the world.
I did not know that before the first take of this podcast.
No, biggest non-English speaking diaspora. That's where we all ended up in the 1800s.
Wow,
we all fucked off there after the famine. But listen, we're talking about William Brown from Foxford, Mayo.
Foxford Mayo, Foxford, that's right. Yeah,
Guillermo Brown or Almirante Brown.
Admirante, yeah. Jeez, I should have warmed up on my Espanol. Lo siento, mamá.
How is the Spanish?
It's okay. I when I was a waiter in London, I was able to, I could serve tables in Spanish, for example.
Yeah.
I understand way more than I can speak. But I think my Spanish has come along a lot in the last few years. And through not speaking Spanish, because my daughter is bilingual. She's Portuguese and Irish. Her mother's Portuguese. So just hearing that, it's a very different sound, but it's a lot of crossover. So it sounds very different, but it's a lot of crossover. So then I found myself in a few situations where I didn't want people to understand what I was saying. So I was speaking Spanish to her, and I was quite surprised at what I was coming out with.
Yeah.
So I just seemed to pick up. Yeah. A lot of the verbs and all that kind of stuff are very similar.
That's the only time I find myself speaking Irish is on holidays. When I'm trying to very slowly say something to people.
To Ocrasurum. To Broner.
Fucking Ocrasurum.
I had an American fella in Vietnam give out to me and my friends for in the taxi on the way home, being like, it's fucking rude, man, to speak another language. We know you're talking about us. I'm like, we were legitimately just drunk and speaking English.
It's hard to keep up with sometimes. Yeah. But he was born in Mayo in 1777. You like this now. Little was known of his early life.
I love that.
Yes.
That's handy.
I have read that up years ago. Yeah. He's kind of a lot of people don't seem to officially know why he left as well. I think, is that another thing? Or?
I think that's so. Apparently this is a reference to something we were talking about in the first take, but he might have been illegitimate.
Yeah.
So his name's Brown, but his dad's name might have been Gannon.
Right.
He might have been an illegitimate son.
Okay. Okay.
But listen, it makes our job much easier. They don't know much about him. We just leave the early life.
Just make it up.
Done. Yeah. You know, he left.
He's a player. That's why he left.
He was. He left behind a little broken hearts.
Yeah.
But him and his dad emigrated over to Baltimore, Maryland.
That's right.
In 1797.
Bringing it all back now. Yes, yeah, I did know this. Yeah.
The home of The Wire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it.
That's why he wanted to go there, yeah.
Kevin's dad gave me a dap the other day out on the street. I went for a regular handshake.
Oh, yeah.
He's an elderly man from Monaghan.
Yeah.
And I was like, go for that. And he was like, no, bring it in. Shoulder bump.
Really? Oh, my
goodness. He's a big fan of The Wire.
I was from that. He got it from.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember we were watching it once and he was just like, how did they do that? And I looked over at him and he was just like trying to. Just get his hands going. Now he's perfected this. He's a happy man.
Well, now, of course, bring it back to Argentina. In Argentina, like, it took me a while to get used to it. Especially when you go over there, like, and you haven't been for years or whatever, like, you kiss. Everyone kisses, like, man. It's like, yeah, on the. Hola, che, ¿cómo te va, boludo? You know, hugs and kisses and all that. And if you don't, everyone goes, hey. You know, like, what are you doing? Like, it's a thing. Yeah.
How is that as an Irishman? You must have 50% of you is so struggling with dealing with affection and intimacy.
Yeah, I don't. It's when you're over there, it's kind of like my memory of being there. Like, they're very tactile. They're Latino, so, you know, they're very tactile. And it's very, everything's touchy feely. So,
yeah.
You become the odd one out when you're not a little bit. And because I'm kind of used to it, having gone since the first time I was there, I was 10 months old. So you kind of get used to it. But the abiding memory for, I didn't get as bad. My brother definitely got it worse because he's a little chubbier. But they grab your cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, lindo, let este nene. And you're like outside the church going, Jesus Christ, will you let go of me?
But it must have been like, in The Departed, DiCaprio's character, he's undercover. Flipping back and forth between kissing and hugging and going back to rural Cork and just being like, fucking touch me.
Yeah, don't fucking touch me, boy.
Step off, man.
Nails.
Your shadow. Yeah. You'd want to fucking get away from me, no kid.
You mix up where you are and boom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fucking roasted.
Give us a kiss there, Kino. Fuck off.
Give me a bob. Get the fuck out of here. You thought you were from New York there for a second. I don't know. But he's a nice little time over in the States.
Yes, that's right.
So they're staying with a family. The family's put them up, giving them accommodation. Whoever it was that's putting them up gets yellow fever. They die. Mm-hmm. It's not good. Then Guillermo's dad, also yellow fever, also dies.
Suspicious. So, yeah. Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. They're all dead. Anyway, they're breezing
who
through.
Who gets the house?
Instead of getting the house, he gets to have long walks on the river by himself. So I think he's just sort of wandering around.
Okay.
He's walking down the Delaware River one day. This is just how the 1700s operated, when a fucking man could get ahead.
Yeah.
Walking down the river, sees an older man with a ship. The captain says, do you want a job?
Yeah.
He says, one. And then he starts working as a cabin boy on the ship.
Right, and he works his way up.
And off he heads. So he spends the next 10 years at sea, makes his way up to the rank of captain.
Capitan.
Well, that hasn't come yet.
El Capitan.
At this point, he's still Mr. Brown.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The Mayo man. Well, it is the boy at this stage. But so he's out at sea as a captain, and he gets pressed, ganged into the British Royal Navy to go fight in the Napoleonic Wars. So we talked about this in some other episodes, but the British love to just hop onto ships, especially like American ships after the Revolution. Mm. They just hop onto ships. If there's anyone like vaguely English or Irish, they just put them into the Navy and take them off to go fight in the wars.
Yeah.
So how much do you know about the Napoleonic Wars?
Not a lot. I just know about
he was short.
Yes, yeah. I know that.
There was a war?
Yeah. There was a war, yeah.
Was the war short, or how long was this?
Not for a long time.
Yeah, I see he's projected. He's compensating.
A lot of Irish fought in the Battle of Waterloo. I know that. Yeah, a lot.
Including the Phoenix Park Wellington Monument.
That's right. Yeah.
The Duke of Wellington, he's a Dublin-born man. But basically, 1799, Napoleon takes over France. He decides, why not fucking take over all of Europe while he's at it. They start expanding over the continent of Europe for about 16 years. Well, this will come up a bit later on, but the Battle of Trafalgar, 1805. The English beat the French and the Spanish navies all together. Admiral Nelson is leading the English in that battle. We have Nelson's monument on O'Connell Street for years after that. Then the Battle of Waterloo in 1815, the English defeat the French. ABBA writes a song about it, and that's pretty much the end of the Napoleon Wars. But
skip 200 years.
Skip 200 years. There you go.
We're a loose history podcast.
Yeah. Nice. But that's the brief period we'll be talking about Brown in Argentina. So when he's in Argentina, all through Europe, there's no point getting into it because every 2 years, everyone switches sides. But basically, it's all during the time when Napoleon's trying to take over all of Europe. So Brown, he's forced into the Navy to go fight against the French, but he has no allegiance to the British. He escapes the ship that he's on. Apparently, he scuttled it on his way out. I don't know if that's true.
Scuttled it? What does that mean? Shit himself?
Just shit himself on the way out.
We know you're going, William.
He so named the poop
a bunch
deck.
Of rocks. Like, what was that sound? It was the ship.
He said he destroyed the ship on the way out, but then the French catch him. They don't believe him. They throw him in prison. Eventually, he breaks out, makes his way over to German territory, which was a good thing at the time, and finally makes his way back to England, where he gives up on this whole being a sailor crack. He decides to settle down and get married. In July of 1809, he marries Elizabeth Chitty. I was going to say Shitty, but now it seems inappropriate based on
Chitty.
Chitty.
Would when they had sex, would he say
chitty chitty bang
chitty,
bang?
Chitty,
yes.
Bang bang.
Yeah, that's written in here. Jason will reference chitty chitty bang bang.
That's in the notes.
That's in the notes.
I rehearsed this.
What happens when you live together? You spend too much time with each other.
Do you?
Yeah.
And no, podcast, run the club, live together, and then outside of that, friends.
I have a picture of the two of you in bed with microphones, like fucking Bert and Ernie.
Good night, Bert.
Yeah.
That's where we are, by the way, the club. We'll talk about it later, maybe. She's never mentioned again, his wife.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I assume she's around, because he mentions briefly that he has kids, but...
Oh, does he? Yeah, yes. I don't know if I had knowledge of them. That is interesting. What was he up to at that stage?
Yeah.
But that's also parts of history that, like the fucking history of women is so bad.
Yeah.
So it's like she probably was up to all sorts of grey crack and all that kind of stuff. But they're like, no, we're not writing that down.
Her name was Chitty. That's enough for the history
books. Chitty. Well, and not even a second name.
I noticed it with like people just off of Wikipedia when I'm reading stuff, because like modern days, if it's an actor, musician or anyone, it like has a little blue thing, is it spouse or partners?
Yeah.
And then kids and all of that. If you go back through, like, this man was a revolutionary leader for like 20 years. And no mention of his wife at all.
That's just
completely gone.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah. Or it'll just be like, Kevin Lurney and wife executed for crimes against humanity.
I think it was right up into the 1960s or 70s that in Ireland, you were still, like, by marriage, you were, as the woman, you were always property of the guy.
Your PPS number when you got married just became...
Really?
Whatever the man's PPS number was, and then W at the end of it.
Where did it all go wrong?
The 1990s when they decided to stop doing that, apparently. But... Well, he was a Catholic and she was a Protestant.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
So they agreed to raise their son's Catholic and their daughter's Protestant.
Okay.
Pretty, wow. Yeah.
There you go.
I got into an argument once with a woman at a house party. I said, if instead of double barrel names, because they're only going to keep Dublin, they're going to run out of space. What if you just named all your sons after the mother and all your daughters after the father? And, you know, just sat off like that, and she called me...
You're a prick.
I am a prick, but not for that reason. I thought that was pretty good. She's not.
But that's that's the way they do it in most Latin countries. Well, certainly Spain, I know they do that. I actually don't think they do it in Argentina, but you're always double barrel of your parents' name all the time. Like the mother of my child's name is Maria Inés de Noronha y Andrada Torres.
Okay.
That's three surnames in there.
Right. Yeah, actually.
And her mother wanted to put that on our child. I was like, no, you're getting one. That's it. You know, that's it. You know, she was, oh, please, my name won't be carried. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
You pick your favorite one and use it as the middle name.
Yeah.
Well, so hey, when do you stop? Because, like, how many family names can you get into one name?
It's a weird culture of it over there. It's just a bit like, it's crazy.
Well, I've always seen it with footballers because they're all like, they'll just go by a nickname because their actual one is like five or six different words.
But that's very, especially Brazilian lads, they have, everyone has Da Silva in there and like another 10 other things as well.
Yeah.
Who's this Da Silva player that's all over the whole country?
We're going to lose Kevin now.
I'm realizing I've written an awful lot of people's full names in this because I thought it'd be funny to say.
Oh, we could try say some of them.
Well, listen, that's half the podcast.
Oh, listen.
Oh, God. God almighty. Same year he gets married, 1809. Brian's like, fuck the UK. I'm away, heading off to Rio de la Plata.
Yeah,
that's good. Sets himself up as a merchant in the city of Montevideo.
Mm. So he just went from England to Argentina there to Rio de la Plata.
Yeah.
Fucking, I could have read that wrong now, but I thought he'd gone from all his carry on in the US and then he ended up down in Argentina. He kind of just traveled down or something like that, but yeah.
He got kidnapped, basically, went and fought the French.
Yes, that's right.
And
yeah.
then sort of
yeah.
ended up back in England and then headed off to Argentina for a better life.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The amount of people that go to Argentina for the women. But anyway, we'll go on.
He left his wife conveniently at home. Yeah. Like, Chitty, you stay here.
Yeah, you stay here. I'm just going to...
We'll scope it out for a couple of years yeah, and yeah. let you know. Well, he sets himself up. He's a merchant there. He's in Montevideo. Becomes a merchant.
What's the name of that place? Sorry, come look at the spelling of that.
Montevideo. It's the capital of Uruguay now.
Oh, right, yeah.
But at the time... So
Spanish speakers would pronounce the V as a B.
Oh.
So they say Montevideo.
Montevideo.
I could be wrong. Maybe they do pronounce that as a V, but you'll notice it when they speak English. Yeah. I'm very, very sleepy. Like the, you know, the kind of the...
And the J's become a ch.
Yeah, the J's become a ch. And in Argentina, what's very specific to Argentina, like Spanish speakers will spot you... Sorry, not Spanish speakers. Spanish people. Like I remember being on the Camino de Santiago speaking Spanish to other Spanish walkers there. And they're straight away like, oh, you're from Argentina straight away because you say... Some of the Y's, so yo, Y-O, which means me.
Yeah.
Argentinians would say yo.
Yo.
And then anything that's got double L's in it, they'd pronounce as a yo as well. So chicken is pollo for Spanish in Spain. Yeah. So I'll never forget ordering off a woman. And I didn't know this at the time. No one had told me that. And I said, papa frites con pollo, por favor. And she's like, pollo? And I was like... Pollo, 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 pollo. I was like, you get it. Like, I didn't realize that it was
it's
a thing. It's the same thing, but it's just a double L they turn into a je.
Or the je as well. I remember my Catalonian house used to say, they're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah. In the text, it's like,
yeah, yeah. And I think it's a Korean, is like, XIX.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. ZZZZZ. I don't know. But yeah, he's a merchant. He becomes a big old ship man. He buys a schooner called Industria, Spanish for industry.
Yeah.
Pretty cocky of him. But anyway.
I like how you think all your Korean friends are like, they must be laughing at all of my jokes and they were just sending you ZZZ. This is so boring. You're like, I'm cracking these up.
Yeah. I like that you think I have many Korean friends.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, have you lived in Korea?
No. I was in a Korean restaurant earlier on today, White Rabbit.
Oh, nice.
Fucking very nice.
On Cable Street or the one?
On Cable Street. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to bleep that out with the podcast now unless they sponsor it.
It's on you, Rabbit. Anyway, so he starts setting up this sailing service between Montevideo and Buenos Aires. So it's the first of its kind in South America. He's shipping stuff between them. So it's the first of its kind because the Spanish colonial government don't like this sort of stuff. And they step in and destroy your ship. No. They don't want trade between these cities. Because, well, so the River Plate is full of opportunity for lads with ships.
Yep.
It's a new frontier. Yep. There's loads of minerals and stuff that the natives weren't using. They're like, fucking, let's dig it up and start selling it.
Yeah.
A lot of trade to be done. But the Spanish, in 1542, the Spanish set up the Viceroyalty of Peru. They make Lima the capital of all the colonies in South America. 2 years later, a man by the name of Lopo Homen.
Show me that.
There we go.
You're over there. Lobo Homen, yeah.
Probably. Yeah, listen, I'm just going to start swinging for the fences.
I've never even heard that name, though, before. Like,
so he's the first. He marks an area on the map called Terra Argenta, which means the land of silver.
Argenta, yeah.
Yeah, so... Terra Argenta. That's where all the... They knew, or they'd heard legends that there was silver all around this area.
Right.
So because even Plata is an old slang for silver.
Yeah.
So River de Plata is the silver river. Yeah. So the whole thing was just Argentina is just like the land of silver.
Yeah. And you have Mar del Plata as well, which is the beach of silver as well, which is further down on
so
that.
So just all the there's like a cartoon character just walking in with like big dollar signs.
Yeah, yeah.
All this old silver.
Which was up to my grandmother's time in the 1930s, I think she emigrated to Argentina from Calabria, south of Italy. That was still the kind of the mindset of the immigrants in those days, that you went there for because the streets were filled with silver and gold. Like,
That's
it wasn't, by the way.
No, it turns out very much not.
Didn't have a great time, but you get over.
At least that's like, if you're wrong, at least it's good climate and a nice place to go to, whereas all the Irish are like, let's go to Montana and mine for silver. And it's cold and it's windy and it's shit and you never get anything. And you just die at 30 with a broken leg.
It's a hell of
Unfortunately,
a life.
Though, if you're moving from Italy to Argentina, you're not going, at least the weather's not... No, the weather was grand back home, thank you very much.
It was slightly less fascism in one of the places. Ah, I don't know. We left all the fascist stuff out at the start. I'm not going to trip off that.
There's a lot of fascism.
So, the explorers, so they start setting up towns to steal more stuff from the old natives. But, yeah, the rule at the time is that all the trade needs to go through Lima, which is in Peru, which is on the far side of the country from Buenos Aires. So that's why when Brown is setting up his, like, intercity route to start doing trade, if you steal silver from Buenos Aires and you want to ship it back to Europe, the Spanish say you have to go through Lima, which is a pain in the balls.
That's how they get their tax, obviously.
That's how they get their tax, and that's how they control all the exports.
Yeah.
Now, the ease of stuff as the years go on everything except silver. But then the new settlers that are in Buenos Aires realize, sure, the whole fucking place is surrounded by grass.
Mm.
And just start selling beef.
Yeah.
So, was it La Pampas?
Las Pampas.
Is this where all those steakhouses are coming from now?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say they haven't stopped.
They haven't stopped, no.
It's a big part of gaucho culture, like the Argentinian farmers, essentially. Like, they're kind of like, to have a proper gaucho asado is like amazing. They'll kind of... I've had loads of asado, but they don't waste one bit of the cow. Like, they kind of just... And they'll find a grill somewhere and they can build it anywhere. They can make that fire happen anywhere.
Apparently comes from this period where they're just like, cow becomes the main commodity because you can basically just get around paying the Spanish a load of tax on it.
Yeah.
But then, so gaucho is basically cowboy. Or
essentially,
like equivalent. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a gaucho's here down in Smithfield restaurant.
Is there? In Smithfield?
Yeah. I live down that way. Just in the Keys, yeah.
Jeez, I didn't know. I did not know. My mom lives in Smithfield, for fuck's sake. How does she know about it? Is it new enough for her?
It's new enough. Right. Yeah, it's there beside Frank Ryan's. They don't say you're good.
Fucking hell. Right, yeah.
Just listen around the corner. Head down there tomorrow.
I'm off now. Well, I'm not going for dinner tonight. we
might have time.
Yeah. But, so that's kind of the brief history of Buenos Aires leading up to that. Buenos Aires means good wind.
Good air. Or good wind.
Or good air, I was just having fun learning what stuff means. But. Yeah. So the Napoleonic Wars in 1807, it's divided into different bits, but this period's the Peninsula War. Spain, Portugal, and the UK fight against the French for invading the Iberian Peninsulas. The French were allied with the Spanish. Spanish let them through so they could invade Portugal. And then when Napoleon was down in Portugal, he said, fuck it, take Spain as well. They kidnap King Ferdinand VII of Spain.
Right.
He puts his brother... Joseph, oh no, he definitely wasn't Joseph. He would have been
Jose.
French Joseph.
Oh, he was French.
He's Napoleon's brother.
Joseph.
He puts Joseph Bonaparte. He makes him the king of Spain. The Spanish, they don't like that. But
no bueno, you might
say. Very much no. From every peasant to fucking lord in the street says no bueno. And there's a large scale uprising starting the following year with Dos de Mayo uprising, the second de Mayo uprising. Or
Dos
1808.
You say
Dos de Mayo?
Mayo, yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically... So that's all happening in the European side.
Mm.
Bonaparte's tried to take over Spain. Well, he does from 1808 until 1814. But now, so this is what I mean when it keeps flipping back, because now the Spanish just let him in to attack the Portuguese, and then once it backfired on them, they team up with the Portuguese and the British, who they were fighting 2 years ago, to fight against the French, who were friends with the British... 2 years ago. It doesn't matter.
Fuck
anyway,
me.
Every 2 years, they all flip sides.
It's mental. But even like, I did Irish history, like, in lockdown.
Yeah.
Like, from, like, basically from the famine up until the War of Independence. Like, it's so... people today make it so black and white, and it's not. It's complicated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fucking hell.
And then everyone hated the British, and then Parnell came along, and we all celebrated, and 1916 happened.
Did it. Fuck.
60 That's years of people just... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People are fighting all the time.
But then, especially back in those days, like, this literally may as well be happening on another planet. But all the settlers in Argentina... they're just hearing all this news coming across the world, and it affects who's in charge of all the areas that they're in.
Mm.
So in 1807, when this is all happening, the English show up to Buenos Aires and start to try and steal... it's just before this happens. They go in to steal the Pampas, take over there. They're like, fucking, it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
So then the Buenos Aires have to defend themselves against the English, and they get no help from old Spain, which gets them thinking, fuck Spain.
Mm.
So what are they doing for us anyway? And then when the French take over, they use that as an excuse to sort of claim a certain independence. In May, they have their own revolution, their own May revolution, which is probably how you pronounced it a second ago.
I just realized, yeah, because you, when you said Mayo, yeah, that would be the, but Mayo would be the Argentinian way of saying it. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So Mayo, so there's the, so the Spanish have a May revolution in 1808. 2 years later, the Argentinians have a revolution in May as well.
Was that Cinco de Mayo? That was a Mexican, wasn't it?
Cinco de Mayo. It's fucking May is a big time for Spanish speakers kicking off.
There is, but like they have streets, like for example, like Nueva de Julio and all that kind of stuff. The streets will be named after the dates of these wars and all that kind of stuff. Which is a bit mad. Like imagine walking down like O'Connell Street was like the 3rd of February. I see the 3rd of February. Yet. Yeah. No. That's a month away. No, I mean the 3rd of February.
The 3rd of February.
Most times I walk down O'Connell Street now, it feels like it's a war. No, it's been named after.
Yeah.
It seems weird that there's definitely like an Easter Rising Street around here somewhere.
Is there? Yeah, it's good.
Probably.
Jesus, we should know that. Well, I mean, all the leaders are named like all over, like Parnell Street and Pierce Street, and there's loads of them.
I got my first tour about 2 weeks ago, and I had it all written up. And when I showed up to give the tour, it was six young English lads who were taking it.
Right.
So I had to rewrite a lot of it in my head pretty quickly.
Oh, right. But even
pointing at every statue and every name is like, fucking shot dead in the street like a dog by the Brit. It's two sides to every story.
You gotta get them tips. That's what you gotta.
They weren't so bad. But they have their own revolution. They unite the regions of Rio de la Plata to create the Junta Provisional Gubernativa de las Provincias del Rio de la Plata.
Wow, that's impressive. Where is that?
Look at this now. It was probably Junta
Provincial Gubernativa de las Provincias del Rio de la Plata. Yeah, that's
which
a long
is
name.
Just the United Provinces of the River of Silver.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah.
So it's roughly present day like Argentina, Bolivia, Paraguay, Uruguay, and parts of Brazil. It's basically the first government takes over on the 25th of May.
25 de Mayo.
So the Spanish have this code called the Siete Partidas, or the 7-part code, which basically says, if you think the king's illegitimate, you can set up your own junta.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when all the South Spanish areas set up their own juntas when Napoleon's taken over Spain, and they decide to just keep rolling with it and declare independence. This sets off a whole... So in this period, like all of the former Spanish and Portuguese colonies start going for independence.
Yeah.
So when Brown's schooner is attacked, remember Brown?
Guillermo Brown. Yeah.
Brown.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. His ship gets attacked, and basically on the back of this, the Argentinians
rally behind them
and start providing ships to defend Argentina's coastline and start thinking of themselves as being more separate than a Spanish colony.
And so it's that moment that's kind of essentially the beginning of the Argentinian Navy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So they kind of decide, fuck it, we need a Navy. And then they realize none of them can sail any ships.
Right,
they get in this man who has what is essentially just like a freight ship.
Yeah.
But he's the best man for the job. So in March 1814, they set a full-scale attack against the Spanish ships.
Vamos!
He comes flying out. He goes and takes over Martin Garcia Island.
Okay. Don't know. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Don't think so, anyway.
It's referred to as the Rock of Gibraltar of Argentina.
Right, okay.
This is just an island there in the bay. It was named after some... whatever ship found it first, their cook had died.
Mm-hmm. Right.
His name was Martin Garcia.
Oh. The Rock of Gibraltar of Argentina was the Falklands.
Well, the Falklands...
Oh, don't bring that up now. No. Jesus Christ.
The Falklands...
We won't get out of this podcast.
I'd written up a bit at the end of that, but there is no time for that now.
Yeah. That is definitely another podcast.
Yeah, for sure. It seemed like a funny...
sandwich it in at the very end.
People just kept claiming that they had found it first.
Yeah.
And then everyone abandoned it for a while.
And then the British were like... I don't know what happened. I do know exactly, because I wrote about that in that Maradona piece. But basically, La Junta, which were the dictatorship government that were kind of starting to crumble in the 70s into the early 1970s into the early 1980s, they were just running a shit show. And everybody was figuring out what the fuck they were at, which is basically killing 30,000 people on the sly, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we need to defend our country. And they just started this whole thing about we're going to fight for our honor for the Falklands. But it was all just a PR fucking stunt.
Yeah.
And like all these young fellas who had no clue to fight just got... The English went over one ship and were like, see you later.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Fair play to Thatcher, anyway.
Maggie Thatcher, yeah.
Boy, yeah, so he's out fighting the old Martin Casillas. So this is like the first big battle. The Argentinians, they're not called Argentinians. Well, it's not called Argentina yet, but they're fighting against the Spanish, against the blockade. And apparently,
wonder what they do call themselves at that stage.
They call themselves the Argentines.
Right.
But there's no such thing as Argentina yet.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I guess they call themselves that.
There's no state Junta, yet.
It's a bit mousy.
Some copywriter said, we need a better headline than that, Lance.
Shore it up a little bit.
Make it snappy.
Yeah.
The Silver Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently during the battle, it's all happening in March, apparently he gets the troops rallied up by getting them to play St. Patrick's Day in the Morning.
Wow.
A song that I've never heard of before.
Right.
And the only reference when you look it up online is the Argentinian band likes to play it.
Oh, right.
Naval band.
I was going to say a song that you've never heard of before, and I'd say, I reckon most of those Argentinians hadn't either. Yeah. At that stage.
Yeah, I do. I listen to it, and it's not exactly like, I was kind of picturing an old, you know, Wolf Tones, like, well, fucking pick up. Yeah. It's just like, yeah. I don't know if they'd never heard this. Is it St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
Right. but it worked. Listen, there's no point making fun of him. He beat the Spanish blockade, and now they've got control of Montevideo. Brown pretends to retreat, draws the Spanish. So basically he's broken through the blockade. He's now on the far side of them. Pretends to retreat to bring them all out into sea. Starts fucking attacking them. At some point he gets his leg shattered by a cannonball.
Oh, Jesus.
That's pretty good though.
What do you mean?
You assume if you got hit by a cannonball, you'd die.
Mm.
Or like it would blow.
Yeah. Legs.
That was my initial reaction. He just got his leg shattered.
It might have fallen onto something. Right. And then
or maybe it was in his own ship. It sounded like he fell off a shelf.
Yeah. He was loading the cannon and it just...
Bollocks! It wasn't fired at all.
He just found out about the Argentinian compensation for getting injured in battles.
Yeah.
So
claim!
Exaggerated. An old war story. He dropped it on his big toe.
Yeah. Well, apparently, this might be an old war story, but apparently he's lying on his back on the deck and he's shouting.
Not the orders.
Yeah, shouting the orders. Actually, yeah, maybe. Probably couldn't see anything. So they probably were like, yeah, no worries, Guillermo. Yeah. Right. Left, is this?
Yeah.
But he's an old Argentinian war hero. So he wins the day on his back, shattered leg. It's his first big battle. Everyone thinks he's great. But then he starts heading off, chasing after the Spanish. Hunting them down around the place and causing havoc, and all the Argentinians have put a lot of money into his ship, and he keeps getting them shot apart because he's fighting the Spanish.
Right.
And they decide that he's not a war hero anymore; he's a fucking menace.
Yeah.
So at some point, he's shipwrecked, stranded on some island, and he's got a bad fever, and that's when he gets the news that he's been sued back in Argentina.
For fuck's sake!
Losing all the money.
And me with only one leg.
Now, I don't know how he was shipwrecked, stranded on an island, and still able to get communications.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus
from
Christ.
The old country. Yeah. But anyway, so instead of heading back to Argentina, he goes back to England to fight the legal battle. And he wins.
Wow, Jesus.
He's some man. And when he returns to Argentina, they give him control of his ship. His ship that he'd have, they just gifted to him. The Hercules.
Mm.
Or as the Argentinians would say, Jercules.
I don't know if it's I don't know if it's in that one.
Hercules. And then
he had one arm much bigger than the other.
El Jercules phenomenal.
The fastest jerk in the West. And then that's it. Yeah, he heads back to Argentina and he enjoys the golden years.
Yeah, and by the way, Chidi is still, there's no sign of her.
This is probably when she comes back into
it.
I don't know. He says this is when he enjoys his happy family life. She hasn't been heard of in 6 years or so.
What kind of an age is he at this stage, do we know?
What kind of age
is he at?
When
he goes back to Argentina.
Yeah, geez, he's probably, 18, 16.
You're asking him to do quick maths now. It's going to be tough for him.
Yeah, I don't remember what year I said he was born in. He's probably touching 40.
Right, wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he's touching 40 and got one leg, so that's a good time to get out of the game. So now they're trying to figure out, it's the same with everyone, same with Ireland. Anytime a country gets its own independence, the first question is, what now?
Yeah.
Who's in charge? Yeah. So they're all fighting for an independent Argentina that isn't under Spanish rule. And then once they get it, they're like, well, obviously, we all wanted it to look like this. And then everyone disagrees. So you got the...
And let me tell you, it hasn't fucking stopped since.
It hasn't stopped. So this is this period is basically every, like, Paraguay, Uruguay, Bolivia, they all get independence. Then the first question is, well, what the fuck do we do with it now?
Yeah.
Civil war. So the Argentinians, there's people who... The people in charge want a centralized government like the old days. And then they're against the gauchos, the cowboys.
They just the gauchos had their own bloody rule, is it?
The gauchos just want, they want less government, more farming.
Yeah.
Because they're rich as shit, because the main export is beef. They control the beef. And apparently if you become a big enough gaucho, you become a codilos.
All right.
Do you know? It's just a warlord.
Right, okay.
Or some sort of cow warlord.
Jesus.
And one such warlord was Juan Manuel José Domingo Ortiz de Rosas.
Juan Manuel José Domingo Ortiz de Rosas. Or Rosas.
Yeah.
Rosas. I keep going, because that's Portuguese.
But he go on to become the leader of Argentina. But I thought that was, basically because beef is such a main thing. They're just cattle farmers.
Yeah.
Who become so good at cattle farming.
Wealthy, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't...
They don't want anyone else controlling it.
No, and they want less government, less taxes, more cows.
As you're saying that, I'm picturing like a gaucho. Now, I remember I got a bus from Mendoza in the wine region in the north, west of the country, down to, I think, San Jose de Bariloche, which is in Patagonia, beautiful glacial, kind of stunning mountain ranges and all that stuff. But anyway, it's a long bus. It was like 15 hours in the bus or whatever. But as you're going down, you're going through Las Pampas.
Yeah.
And the Andes are in the background. And I just remember seeing a gaucho. Like we'd been on this road in the middle of fucking nowhere for hours. And he just on his horse. Like, I was like, wow. Like, that was the real... But as you're saying, like, they don't want anyone controlling them. That was the exact thought that I had when I saw that guy. I was like, where the fuck is he off to? He's just doing his own thing.
Which I thought there should be more. There probably is that I just don't know about. But, like... You know, cowboy and Indian Western films are massive here. For the older generation. There should be loads of class South American cowboy
gaucho
stories.
Gaucho movies,
Yeah, out in their own. It's basically the same, except everyone's much more handsome and has a better accent.
But they wear those, you know, the kind of... And I wonder, is that a hark back to maybe in more of the indigenous people? But they do wear those gaucho kind of ponchos.
Ponchos, yeah.
Very nicely designed gaucho ponchos and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They had a different look, all right. We used to have a poncho, like a one in the house that was like used as a throw on the back of the couch, like, you know what I mean, kind of thing. With a little hole in it. Put over your head, yeah.
I suppose they probably did, because I think they spread down closer to Patagonia where the indigenous people would have been. And they probably...
Yeah.
We're more likely to be mating with them and taking their ideas and all the rest.
Their
ideas,
their clothes and everything else.
Old Farmer Brown. These are his like Thanos years where he decides to give it all up and become a farmer and talk to his wife he hasn't seen in a decade. He can't stay in retirement long though.
Chitty, you're not vegetarian, are you?
Fucking hell. You're still on that Protestant stuff. Fuck.
And Protestant vegetables.
Jesus. Old machines and all those fancy ones. But there's the Cisplatina region, which is basically just modern Uruguay.
Okay.
The Spanish and Portuguese have been beating the shit out of each other for centuries over the region. And once Argentina becomes its own thing, it's like, ah, fuck it. So we'll go after it as well.
Argentina?
Yep. That's what the locals called it. no time for corrections now. So the Portuguese, it was called the Banda Oriental del Uruguay. The Portuguese had invaded in 1816, took control of the region in 1820, just in time for the Brazilians to gain independence in 1822. So they had it for about 2 years, then Brazil's like, fuck off. Again, they're all distracted in Europe by all the battles. So now this region is kind of up for grabs. And it's right beside Buenos Aires, so the Argentinians are kind of, if someone gets control of that, makes it easy to attack Buenos Aires. So they declare a war in 1825. So Brown, in the interim years, has apparently spent his whole time banging on about them getting a navy.
Right.
And putting him in charge of said navy. But it is funny, like, he's a hero until he starts fucking around and, you know, getting up to too much antics and chasing out the Spanish. Now, you're costing us too much money, fuck off. And then he becomes a foreigner.
Yeah, okay.
And they stop listening to him until all of a sudden they're getting invaded by the Brazilians. and now they want old Brown back.
Like Bill.
Bill, man. Well, it's but also
amigo,
my old friend.
Ah, Billy, old pal, let me tell you.
Jesus Christ. But also in the interim, like 10 years or whatever, that no one's learned how to sail. They have no other options. He's the only guy. It's like every 80s movie.
It's
just
not
to drag.
Go for the Argentinian stereotype at all. Is
no. God, we didn't think about it. Yeah.
Shite, we should have learned to do this ourselves.
Ah, manana, we'll get there.
What do you get when the entire country is gorgeous?
Yeah. Why would we sail anywhere, amigo? Yeah. We've got everything here.
Yeah. We don't need anything else.
Yeah, but we were watching Michael Mann's Manhunter last night.
All right.
Fun to say. But it's all those 80s films where there's only one man for the job.
Yeah.
So surely there's at least a second, if not third man for the job. But yeah, apparently not. So they go and get Brown out of retirement. And now he's delighted. He's sick of shitty. He's getting everyone building ships. And he's going out to battle against the Brazilians, who are backed by, it seems the same thing on the other side. The Brazilians also don't have anyone to sail ships, so they get an English man called James Norton. So now the two of these guys are about to start battling for the sanctity of the newly formed Argentina. Stakes are high.
And for the crack, we'll throw in the six counties.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are they? Oh, you'll know all about that soon enough. So Brown, he gives two of his most famous quotes. Comrades, confident. It's hard to know what he'd sound like at this point. Yeah. A Mayo man that's grown up in the US, England,
US
and Argentina.
And England as well. Yeah. It's hard to know what his accent would be.
He'd be all over the shop, but
have a go.
Comrades, confidence in victory, discipline, and three hails to the motherland. That was pretty good because it went all over the place.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah.
bad, yeah. And the second one was Hun Mayo, but
Mayo for Sam.
That was lost at times. The second one was open fire, the people are watching us. Because this is all being done, like there's a blockade just outside the city. Everyone can see what's happening. But they go out and they break through the blockade and he starts chasing the Brazilians up and down the coast of Brazil.
Come here, you're gorgeous.
They're fucking coming. Slow down. It wouldn't be the first time a Mayo man chased the Brazilian up around the country. But that battle.
Do you have any Irish in you?
Just get me within shouting range, men. I'll do the rest. Wind in the window of the ship. But
one arm out the window of the ship.
Well, lads.
What are you doing? I'm cruising, kid.
But that battle goes on for like 5 years with the Brazilians. Eventually settles in 1828. There was a Treaty of Montevideo where, so Guillermo is now like a stately figure. He's sitting in as the ambassador for Argentina at this, even though he's the Mayo man. He's the best man for the job. And this is when Uruguay gets sort of created. They settle their differences and just make Uruguay its own thing. And so it's Uruguayan Independence Day. Oh, fuck. That was, 4th of October. Only a couple of days ago.
No.
I can't believe we missed it. Another celebration slipped by. So, the following year, 1829, the cow lord we were talking about, De Rosa. I'm saying cow lord, and that sounds quite dismissive, but he was apparently a very bad man who killed an awful lot of people while he was in charge of Argentina, so I don't know. Fuck him. So, he's in charge. He's friends with the president of Uruguay at the time, a man called Manuel Orbe. Uruguay is the same thing we were chatting about earlier on. Gets its independence, civil war, half the people fuck him out. It's the Blancos who support Orbe against the Colorados. But they're backed by the French and the English, who are friends again now.
Right. Jesus Christ.
It's not worth keeping track of who is on each other's side.
It's more complicated than Love Island, isn't it, with all the relationships going on here?
You'd be
Jesus
fucking
Christ.
Easier.
Yeah.
And if you look at any one of these periods, you're like, oh, yeah, right, the French were mortal enemies with English. And then 6 months later, it's like, oh, they're best friends and solving the problems of the world.
Yeah.
And 6 months after that. But anyway, they get Brown back into active service for one more job. One last time.
One more Nixer.
One last job.
So in the 40s.
You can't fail. It's easy.
You know it all.
You couldn't possibly.
He's like, fucking get me out of here. The wife's driving me mad. We've got 17 children now. I don't know how it's happening. But he goes out. So
William, there's been 17 last jobs. Just one more.
I suppose people think, Die Hard is ridiculous. But these men didn't have much else to be at.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
He seemed probably like a very highly strung farmer.
Mm.
But in the 1840s, they're fighting in this Brazilian War. The only kind of interesting bit of this is that he gets a man called Giuseppe Garibaldi. he comes into his captivity. Garibaldi will go on to be like a leading figure in the unification of Italy about 20 years after this. So I think at the time they're sort of renowned for their violence against captives, but Brown is very civil to him, treats him very decently, to the point where Garibaldi would name his grandson after Brown years later on. So this guy is like, at the time Italy was a load of different states, so he's a responsible figure for getting Italy to unify. But a more interesting fact for him for this podcast is that he was leading figure in the Ragamuffin War.
Oh, yeah.
Garibaldi was a ragamuffin. The ragamuffins revolted against the imperial government in Brazil. And that's it. It doesn't have any bearing in this, but he fights on the side of the ragamuffins back when that was a much... I don't know if that's where that phrase comes from.
Must be.
It has to be.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, there's no way there's no. It has to be.
Another set of ragamuffins.
Yeah.
It does make the whole thing much more adorable to know. Of course, the scallywags and the ragamuffins. The bowels boys. But so that's pretty much those are his three battles. His big, he's like the defender of Buenos Aires. He fights against the Spanish. He fights against the Brazilians. He fights against the French on behalf of the Uruguayans. He seems to be the only man who can sail a boat in Argentina. Supposedly, when all the fighting was done, he went home to Foxford with his daughter to see the old place.
Really?
No, I don't think that's true. That's fucking Sligo Mayo Tourism says.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think
he
ever came back.
They're as bad as fucking Barack Obama Plaza, aren't they?
Yeah.
Or else he did it just as a way to go, like, if you don't shut up, this is where you're going. Like,
there's a statue of him in Foxford, and there is one down there in the Keys. There's one down. Sir John Rogerson Key.
How long did he spend in Foxford before he left?
He's only a kid, wasn't
he? Yeah, he left. Yeah, probably less than 15 years anyway.
Oh, okay.
But that, what are you trying to imply?
No, that counts. 15 years.
It does. That counts. He was born there. It's grand.
Yeah.
So there's loads of stuff named after him. Yeah, the statue in John Rogers' Key. Apparently, there are over 1,200 streets named after him in Argentina.
A futsal team as well in Dublin. I was just saying, I played for FC Guillermo in Dublin here. Futsal team, yeah. Had the Mayo colours in the crest, and then the jersey was Argentina colours.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And there's Club Social Social Atletico Guillermo Brown.
Is there? I didn't
know. Is there, yeah. Mostly known as Guillermo Brown, or Brown de Puerto Madryn, Argentinian.
Puerto Madryn.
Yeah.
Puerto Madryn, yeah. That's a lovely area. That's like what would you call the equivalent here? Like, you know, the Grand Canal Dock kind of area. Type of thing of Buenos Aires, like all the nice apartments and all that crack.
So they put him in Grand Canal Dock here as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Grand Canal Dock, or as we call it, Dublin's Red Light District.
Is it? Oh, because that's red lights.
Yeah.
Wait, how does he know that? Like, oh, yeah, there's actual red lights there.
Down there.
That's where you've been going at night.
the Wolf Tones have a song about him.
I did not know that.
Yeah, a song called Admiral William Brown.
Admiral William Brown.
Yeah.
If only you're making a comeback at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. If only the Irish female team had been singing that song.
Yeah.
It would have been grand.
But his story is quite it would be a great movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be a great movie. Like, it's quite a character.
Yeah, I think I didn't understand how big of a figure he was in Argentinian history. It's like basically that 15 or 20 year period where Argentina becomes its own country.
Mm.
And it kicks off a series of revolutions of independence all around the whole continent.
And he was central to it.
He was there, yeah.
My dad went to... Because my dad worked in the Merchant Navy. That was his first job. And when he went to like the naval offices in Buenos Aires once, he was looking to see if he could find the documents from when my grandmother emigrated over.
Yeah.
But as soon as... my dad speaks perfect Spanish, like, and all. Mm. But as soon as they knew he was Irish... In the offices of the Argentinian Navy, they were like all over him, like, you know, so it's like, so like, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big big massive respect about it.
There's still a load of ships. I didn't go through the whole list, but loads of there are Argentinian Navy vessels are named after him.
Yeah.
I think we won't finish on this because it's too sad of a note, but the Argentinian ambassador for Ireland died during COVID.
Oh right, I didn't know that actually. No,
Laura Bernal, and she was buried. They buried her in Foxford.
Oh my goodness!
Because of the connection.
Wow. Well, she would have been the person that would have signed off on my passport because I got it done all through here.
If only you hadn't lost it. That's pretty disrespectful.
I fucking hope I haven't. Anyway, it's got to be somewhere. It's one of those things that I've put it away somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere safe that you can't find.
I'll never see it again.
Yeah,
until I move house.
And it'll just be 2 days out of date then.
Definitely.
But the other, I didn't know this either. Apparently, since 2012, every time Argentina plays Ireland in international rugby, they compete for the La Copa Almirante Brown.
I did not know that.
No, jeez. Yeah. I always thought you were going to say, usually when we play them, they smash us.
No, because I looked into it. We've won every time.
No, that's not true.
It's only in international test matches, because I know they beat us.
Argentina knocked Ireland out of the World Cup. Knocked them out twice, I think.
I remember watching that in Berlin. Since 2012, they've played five international test matches, and Ireland's won all five of them. But yeah, they get knocked out every time it counts.
Tournaments,
but we get to keep the Brown Cup. Yeah. So
now the Brown Cup
that no one knows exists.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other funny note is, we'll do an episode about this guy again, but Bernardo O'Higgins.
Oh, I have definitely heard that name, actually.
He's a Sligo man and a leading revolutionary figure in Chile. He's around the same time period.
Fucking hell.
When Guillermo is helping lead Argentina to independence, he's down in Chile leading them to independence.
He really did get all over.
But it's impressive, the size of, look on a map. Anyone who's listening to this, look on a map, the size of Ireland and the size of Argentina, or the size of Ireland and the size of South America, and that we have people that have influenced such huge states to that degree.
When we did, was it Don Julio, the governor of Texas, like the 47th governor of Texas,
right?
And he was only an interim, so for like maybe 6 months or a year. But one of his cousins or his nephew was in charge of like Louisiana.
Yeah.
But before they'd changed the borders around, so at the time that was like, that family had, they were reigning over a bigger amount of land than the 13 original colonies of America.
Right,
just like two lads from, I think they're from Mayo or close around.
Jeez.
I can only imagine that, like, well, O'Higgins and Guillermo just getting in a room together and be like, I haven't a fucking clue what I'm doing. I'm going.
Listen, just don't show them. Don't show them how to use the ships, and then we're grand.
Don't say nothing, boy. Keep a fucking wished. We'll be running this place. Why do you think there's Irish bars everywhere in the world? That was our only demand.
Just stay two steps ahead of them. Starboard, lads.
That's what I was going to say.
I just realized, I as you were talking there, just realizing all the Irish names that of people that I know over there that are Argentinians.
Oh, yeah.
But like, you know, surnames like Mackie. It's just nuts.
Is it Messi's original team? Is it? Oh, no, that's New and Old Boys.
Newell's Old Boys, yeah.
Who's the one who's from O'Higgins? Because there's the O'Higgins Club.
Oh, is there an O'Higgins Club? Is there?
There's a few different ones. They're probably not in the
Someone connected to the football club. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I do know that there's an area of Buenos Aires called Hurlingham, which is, and what there was, I don't know if it still is, but the area is still called that. But I don't know, there was a hurling pitch there at some point. You know, there was a gap pitch there at some point. Yeah.
Well, they'd said, yeah, we covered that in the episode we did before, and I think they said like at one point it was just up until World War I or II that like hurling was a fairly well played sport.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was the exact same rules as what we have like here at the time, but that it was like surprisingly popular. Why not? You need another sport. Like maybe it was before rugby came over.
Yeah, they do love their stick sports. They love polo.
Some men claim that we invented the haile.
The haile?
Yeah.
What's that?
Is that what it's called?
Good question.
The one with the scoop and the
hutch. I've seen that. Do they play in Argentina? I know they play in Spain for sure. But I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I made up that fact there.
Right.
I just like claiming things.
Any chance to...
there's another sport played with a ball? Unlike hurling.
I thought it was just any excuse to get a Mad Men reference into the podcast.
They get big in highlights. Or lacrosse. Is that a Latin America sport?
I don't know, actually.
I think we meant that as well.
Sports. That was us.
You're fucking welcome, South America. You give us attractive people to sort our population out. We give you fucking sport. But
and the Argentinian Navy.
And the Argentinian Navy,
The home gets pretty nice as well. But the Navy's grand.
There he is. That's what he's here for. That's what he's fucking on. Just takes his time, sees his shot.
Wait for it.
He's like, what's the
haymaker? He's like William Wallace, isn't he? Like, remember that scene?
Oh, yeah. Hold. the fucking The Simpsons when everyone's fighting and it's just like that small Asian man in the white suit hasn't done anything yet. You know it's going to be awesome. Boy, yeah, thanks a million for coming.
Thanks for having me on, lads. Yeah, yeah. And it was good to I was actually pleased about good chunks of it that I did know, but like, what a life. So interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So interesting.
An insane life. And I guess that's to go back with what we were talking about. I don't know, was it on this one or the first one, but hey, think of Ireland in the 90s and the 80s growing up. You're like, ah, it's fucking just white Catholic people up to nothing.
Yeah.
We were all over the shop.
We were all over the
everything.
Place. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But fair play to us. If you have any questions about Guillermo, I forgot his real name there for a second. William Brown. Spent far too long in the last few days reading about Argentinian history.
That was impressive research.
Look at all these tabs I can close now.
I'm just part of remembering it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He says the last few days, it was a lot of it was around the kitchen table this morning.
Oh, yeah. A lot of cramming there.
But, the only time I've ever seen him be like, do you know what would be great? If you put on headphones and fucking left.
Did you say that?
Yeah, he was sitting across from me just playing stuff and he was like, man, this podcast is great. It's like, yeah, it'd be better if you check out the fucking headphones.
That was nicely put, though.
I was very polite about
rather
it.
Rather than fuck off.
Fuck off. Yeah. But, sure, we may, you know, now I've learned all this stuff about Argentina.
Muy bien. Yeah. Muchísimas gracias.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't get that, but. Same to yourself. Same to yourself.
Igualmente, you'd say.
No.
No. Grand, thanks, no.
I feel like I've embarrassed the nation enough trying to say juntas.
Juntas.
I was practicing that in the mirror earlier. Anyway, cheers.
Peace and love.
Yeah.
Good luck.